The minister in the presidency, Mondlego Ngubele, told reporters yesterday ahead of a two-day cabinet lekhotla happening up north that the prospect of a state of disaster declaration around the issue of the electricity supply crisis would be talked about, but he said they were not sure whether they had the legal authority to declare a state of disaster when the issue is, you know, electricity, lack of electricity. They said they'd asked for a legal opinion, and at the time that they went into the cabinet lekhotla, they had not received a reply to their question. Professor Diewald van Niekerk joins us now, professor of geography, head of the African Center for Disaster Studies at Northwest University. Diewald, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, John.
Is there a clear answer, yes or no, to the question of whether they can legally declare a state of disaster around this issue, or is it a, well, maybe, but kind of answer?
No, I think it may be more a yes than a but answer to it, or a no, I should say, than a but answer, because the Disaster Management Act is quite specific in when an event or phenomenon is a disaster, a state of disaster. And when you look at the Disaster Management Act, it starts off in Section 2 by saying that if any other legislation or legal provision makes or is adequate to deal with the situation that you're sitting with, then the Disaster Management Act does not apply. So in this case, they are trying to fix a governance issue with emergency law. And that is it's definitely a red flag to be raised in our democracy. This is not what the Disaster Management Act was designed to do, and it's definitely not the intent of the Disaster Management Act to be looking at normal governance failures and calling that a disaster. However, if we go this route, some regulations and some provisions could assist in helping the current situation we're in. But I'm not convinced that this is the correct legal instrument to be using.
The vast majority of commentary that I've heard since Cyril Ramaphosa came out of the NEC lekhotla almost a week ago now, saying there was lots of discussion and general approval of the idea of a state of disaster being declared. Much of the commentary I've read from constitutional people, from electricity people, is that a state of disaster is not necessary, that the problems that are holding up a return to a vaguely reliable supply of electricity don't need a state of disaster in order to be put into practice.
It doesn't. You're absolutely correct. I mean, they implemented that Emergency Crisis Committee middle of last year already, which was, it's very similar to the Corona Command Council, as I understand it, but that they haven't moved much. And there's ample regulations and law that will allow the government to make these decisions and, you know, in inverted commas, bypass a tender procedure or certain procurement processes, because the Public Financial Management Act makes provision for it, although it's a very cumbersome piece of legislation. All of these things are actually in place. The irony is that the government is fighting their own red tape, and they want to fight it with a state of disaster, which basically means that they have no idea what they actually need to be doing. So this is really cumbersome, and it's usually concerning for people in a democracy that your governing party needs to be going down this route to solve their own problems created by themselves and fighting their own rules. It doesn't actually make a lot of sense.
For one thing that comes to mind, Diewald, is the solar industry in South Africa was having difficulty putting the projects which had been approved together, because the projects had been approved with a particular purchase price. So there was an agreed purchase price. We will supply Eskom electricity to Eskom from our solar plant at X, you know, 92 cents a kilowatt hour or whatever it was. But then because of the Department of Trade and Industry's stipulation that solar panels needed to have a certain local component, that made the manufacture of those solar panels so expensive that they would have been subsidizing the cost of the electricity. And Ibrahim Patel's department removed that requirement. So for me, it's an example of something that can be done without a state of disaster needing to be declared.
Absolutely. Like I said, we've got enough competency and skills in the country to assist ESCOM and assist government to solve these problems. But it just seems like the ruling party is hell-bound from going at it alone. And they're not allowed to take hands with industry, private sector, civil society organizations, or even other political parties. And if you want to use a state of disaster to solve an issue, surely you should be looking at all means possible before you reach that point. And the other area that on a legal principle concerns me is that this was called for by the ANC. Nowhere in the law does it allow a political party to call for a state of disaster. It requires that there needs to be a scientific classification of a particular hazard and through a scientific risk assessment process to determine whether we are facing a state of disaster or possible disaster. And this is not happening. So all the other legal means are there. Why don't they just use it? I think declaring a state of disaster uses this word in English language, disaster. It puts emphasis on all of a sudden this urgency by government. And this we all know is absolute nonsense.
Yeah, we are just more than a year away from a general election, and they've realized just how badly their electoral chances are being hurt by the electricity crisis, and they hope to pull the wool over people's eyes by saying to them, we hear your cries, we hear your pleas, and look how seriously we are taking this. We're declaring a state of disaster around this. I mean, I presume that they will get... At least they've asked for legal advice. At least they understand that there is a potential problem around this, according to the minister in the presidency. And is it possible to imagine that they might get legal advice which is different from what you've been sharing with us?
Most possibly. If you look at the definition of a disaster, it says that it is something that exceeds our ability to cope with the situation. And it talks about it's an event that's human-made or natural. So if you use that broad definition and you interpret it in such a way, then certainly you can say, well, this thing is beyond our capability. But from a peer disaster risk studies perspective, you cannot apply this to a normal hazard. You don't have characteristics which we can scientifically study and determine what is the extent, what is the magnitude, what is the scope of this particular hazard that we can rightfully say, okay, we sit with something that we now need to manage because it's going to become a disaster or it's a disaster already. So it falls, scientifically wise, it falls outside the normal scope of what you would do in disaster studies and disaster risk reduction. So that, to me, is that gray area. But, you know, politics, they can do quite a lot. There's two other things that we must remember. The first one is that the process of declaring a state of disaster is that the head of the National Disaster Management Center must first classify it, and then the minister can declare it. So the classification assumes the scientific risk assessment that I talked about. Now, they're putting the head of the National Disaster Management Center in an extremely precarious situation, where he now becomes the key towards saying, well, I'll classify it or I won't. So you can imagine the politics behind that. The other problem is that they are saying we are going to have this for 11 months. Now, they are already preempting how this would roll out. And in the law, it says you can declare for 3 months. After that, we can renew month by month. We all know about this through the COVID period. Now, how can they already assume 11-month declaration of a national state of disaster? You see, there's too many areas where civil society will be able to challenge them in court. And by doing that, also going to tie up a lot of time and resources and take away focus to focus on the real problem, which is the electricity provision. So I don't know who's going to advise them, who's advising on this. My advice is this is not the right recourse, not the right law to use. We need to use what we have in place already.
So I'm sort of thinking of the politics of it, and I really don't like to assume the worst all of the time because it's quite depressing to do that. But I can't help but look at this and say, Fikile Mbalula is a bit of a sort of clown when it comes to governance and being a minister. But by all accounts, he's a brilliant political organizer. And, you know, I can imagine Fikile Mbalula sitting and strategizing and saying, okay, we declare a state of disaster. Somebody immediately takes that state of disaster to court. Things get delayed. And then we can blame the opposition. We can blame people for not giving us the tools that we needed to fix this problem. If only they'd not taken this to the courts, then we would have been able to act according to the state of disaster, and, you know, we would have fixed things. So the fact that things aren't fixed, not our fault, it's their fault. And yeah, it just seems, it seems credible, that kind of scenario.
It's a bit laughable, I must say. I mean, you said it now, so it's out there. So if he does this, I mean, you said it too. But, I mean, this is the thing, that the ANC narrative is normative the whole time. They don't come up with these clear solutions. And now they're grappling towards something that I don't think they believe in as such, in the state of disaster will fix things. Honestly, if I'm a minister, I know what is going on in government, and I look at the period of 11 months, and I think we're going to fix Eskom. I mean, honestly, you must really be from another planet, you think that is going to happen. On the other hand, they could really be trying, or the Ramaphosa faction in government could really be trying this as a last resort in order to bypass the corruption and the factionalism in government. But you must also remember is that, you know, if you're a CEO of a company, it's very easy for you to instruct your directors, to instruct personnel to do whatever they have to do. And this is what we have to do. This is the direction of the company. Do it. In government, it seems like there's kind of this subtle sabotage that happens within departments. And that is why we have this red tape and things being tied up. They get it right just to do not enough to do what is right. And that frustrates the whole system as well. So, you know, I don't think it's always clear cut just to say, well, they're bad and they're not trying to do their job. We mustn't lose sight of the fact that there's quite a lot of infighting still occurring within the ANC and within government structures, and within these cadres that's been deployed throughout government.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it's an extremely complex situation. But, the long and the short of it is, can we trust them? I think, you know, most people have probably lost trust in government. And if we still had trust, people would say, yeah, okay, state of disaster, let's give it a go. You know, there's oversight, but there's none. COVID showed us there's very little oversight when it comes to the decisions they take under the state of disaster.
Thank you very, very much to Professor Diewald van Niekerk, head of the African Center for Disaster Studies at Northwest University.